Hey, everybody. Welcome to Best Show Bests, the best of the best show. And you can find out more about the best show over at thebestshow.net. It airs live every Tuesday night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Standard Time. And if you're new to the program, this show, these are little bite-sized bits and greatest hits type samples of what we do every week. So if you like this, maybe you check out the full show. And if you want to support The Best Show, we have a Patreon set up over at patreon.com/thebestshow. That is how you support the program. It is listener-sponsored now, and you give what you can, and we appreciate it. And there are prizes and benefits at all different levels of giving. So again, go to patreon.com/thebestshow and support the show. And now please, without further ado, check out this episode of Best Show Bests. Let's go to the phones. Hot phones tonight. Hot phones. I'm being told the phones are hot. Best Show.
Super hot.
Super hot, huh?
Yes. Happy Valentine's Day, Big T.
Oh, I am what? Not nuts about this Big T thing.
Why not?
I don't like it. That's why.
It's fun.
It's fun?
Yes.
Being called Big T.
Yeah, Big Trouble.
Well, that's not bad. Big Trouble.
Big texter. Do you text a lot?
Not.
What's your rate?
Sorry?
What are you paying per text? Do you know?
I don't know.
I don't know what I pay. I'm just curious.
Who knows it? Do people know anymore?
Who knows? Could be.
Is that
it's
from
maybe a, just out of reach down the block on a street.
Is that from a musical?
It is.
Do you know which?
It's from La La Land.
That was from La La Land.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I heard it somewhere.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I don't know.
You don't know if it's from La La Land.
I don't know. Big Toblerone.
Okay.
You like that?
Do I like Big Toblerone?
Do you like Toblerone? Maybe you're a Big Toblerone fan.
Well, I'm sure. I think everybody who likes... I don't think, is that such a unique...
I don't like it, I hate it.
You hate Toblerone.
I don't like foreign candy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You just don't like, you can taste that it's foreign?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. See, foreign candy has this certain air about it that I don't like. It's trying to make you think of it in a certain way.
Oh, like it's arrogant.
Yes, very, very arrogant.
You just don't like the arrogance of foreign chocolate. Or candy, not even just chocolate.
That's a great title for a novel. Arrogance of Foreign Chocolate.
Yeah, it would be like...
By Michael Chabon.
I was going to say it could be more like one of those mystery books. Like one of those, what's that guy's name? Like Ludlow. Who was that again? What's his name?
Oh, the Tom Ludlow Mysteries, The Arrogance of Foreign Chocolate.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, it would be like The Arrogance of Foreign Chocolate. Colon, a detective stone,
a detective Norple mystery.
Yeah, a detective Bart Norple mystery.
Love it.
And how do people figure out how to get when you go and you see there's all those books like Sue right. Grafton maybe would write one of them.
Yeah,
and
who's the guy that did the Dick Francis? His are all about horse racing.
Yes, weird horse race. His two passions were. Mysteries and horse racing.
Yeah.
So he set every book at the track.
That's the hallmark of a total sick F, if you ask me.
Yeah, it's like he's one... Dick Francis was one step away from the Crumb brother who drew... filled out all the... Who started writing smaller and smaller on the page.
That's right.
So, who is this?
Pardon me?
Who is this?
Oh, Steve in D.C.
How you doing tonight, Steve?
Good, good. Hey, speaking of Valentine's Day, who did this old song? I heard it on the radio today. I only heard part of it. It goes, it's super old. It's like, you're my Valentine's candy and I want to take a bite. I'm your Valentine's lolly, so come on here and take a suck. Who loves that?
No, that's horror. I don't know who that is. I don't like that at all.
All right, well, how about this? There's this Christmas song that I heard, and I don't know who it's by either. It goes, Silent and green. Holy shit.
I had to bleep you at the end of that. I almost didn't catch it.
Really? Yeah. Oh, my God.
Wow, that one was close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Had your finger hovering over the thing.
I got you, though. They call
it a button or a nozzle?
It's a button, not a nozzle.
Is.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
You see the Grammys?
Did I see the Grammys? I did not see the Grammys. I saw clips and things afterwards.
That's what I saw. Yeah, I didn't see it live either. But how about that clip where Hetfield's mic goes out and he's doing that Lady Gaga thing? Did you see that?
Yes. Yeah, where they were jamming.
Yeah.
And he was not happy.
He was furious. I'll tell you, I have not seen him that mad since he got in that fight with Mustaine over at Ron McGovney's place.
The fight, yeah, I had heard about that fight.
Remember
that?
That
was in the Metallica Behind the Music.
Yes,
right?
Yeah, it's a very mythical event. Like that was the kind of seeds of the dissatisfaction.
Sure, when Dave Mustaine was in Metallica, and then the fight was over like something nuts. Like was it like Dave's dog? Right?
Yes.
Is that what it was?
Yes, I think he had his dog with him, and the dog got up on Ron McGovney's car, and I think Hetfield said something, and they kind of got into it. But I gotta say, man, I was about to say, looks like you need to go to Metallica school, but you really showed yourself to be knowledgeable and a very apt pupil when it comes to Metallica.
Okay, well, I didn't know I was in, like you said, Metallica school,
Metallica school.
Yeah, I didn't know I was in it. Or
you could
needed
stop
to go
at Metallica.
Oh, so I could be a substitute teacher.
You could,
at it.
Yes, yeah.
And yeah. So, but I guess. But you say I'm an apt pupil, huh?
You know, I'm thinking of the wrong movie. I get apt pupil and Dr. Giggles mixed up.
Okay, well, apt pupil is based on a Stephen King novella.
I'm not talking about Christine. Remember Christine, the series?
No,
it was a comedy.
A comedy, the Stephen King book and movie,
yes,
about a murderous, a possessed car.
Exactly. Yeah, it only ran for like 8 episodes.
It was okay. I didn't know that there was a Christine series.
Yes, they had to cancel it because, you know, the bully in it. They carried the bully over from the movie. The guy that was the actor was like 50, but he played a 17-year-old. Remember him?
The bully from.
From the movie Christine.
I can't remember the bully from Christine.
He's at least 70 in the movie. But he keeps calling Cunningham by this other name that's very profane.
Sure, yes.
And they carried that over to the series. And so people just started complaining because he said it like 7 times every episode. He would call him that.
On television.
Cunningham with a T in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a little rough, and I'm amazed that that made it on television.
It did, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, but anyway, getting back to Metallica, I was at that practice that day when the dog incident happened.
When they got into the argument.
Yes, yeah. See, I lived in California for a little bit, and I used to steal cases of Löwenbräu, and I'd bring the cases over to the pad, and I'd drink while they jam tunes.
Mm-hmm.
And that song Motor Breath, you know, it's on the No Life Till Leather demo.
All right.
That's about me.
Motor Breath.
Yes, yeah. See, I used to eat raw garlic and crank No Sleep Till Hammersmith for hours on end.
Oh.
And also the garlic had speed sprinkled all over it.
Sure, so it wasn't just, yeah. So it wasn't just, yeah, garlic you were eating.
No.
You were
a little
jacked up, maybe.
Absolutely, yeah. Still kind of am. I don't know if you can tell or not.
Oh, you seem lively.
Lively.
It's good for what we're doing here.
It's good for radio.
It is good for radio.
That's right. You know, I tried to get Metallica to do the theme song that I wrote for them.
Mm-hmm.
You want to hear a little bit of it?
This is a song you wrote for Metallica.
I did. Yes. Yes. Kind of a theme song.
Sure.
It was like, hey, music fans, we're Metallica. Jim and Dave drink beer and play guitar. Ron plays bass and drives the car. Lars beats his drums. They have a lot of fun. Buy our tape. You know it's great. And if you don't, we're going to soap your windows.
And they, well, I'm shocked that they would not do that song.
They wouldn't even try it.
Mm-hmm. That's weird that they just didn't see the merits in that, I guess.
I don't know. They said it sounded Yeah, they said it sounded G.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I also had this one that I wanted them to do that went like this. I told you that you were the one, but you told me I wasn't any fun, and now I'm alone and crying.
Oh, that is, I gotta just say, sidebar.
Yes?
Your voice is terrible.
What? No, that's the best thing. That's my best singing voice.
That's your singing voice?
Yes, yeah. Well, what do you like about it?
I gotta say, you were singing other things, and your voice was unremarkable to bad for the other things you've been singing tonight. But it just took a big, it's like if you didn't know there was a basement below the basement. Like you look in the corner and you see there's a staircase, and it's just like, well, I thought we were at the bottom floor here. Where's that staircase go? And then you walk down it, and it just keeps going way down.
My feelings are on the verge of being hurt.
Yeah, well, I look, you seem like a very nice guy.
Thank you.
But your voice is not, that's not your strong suit.
Okay, well, you know, I'm starting to play bass a little bit. I'm getting pretty good. Hey, speaking of bass players.
Yeah?
I think Robert Trujillo, you know, from Metallica?
Yes.
I think it would be cool if he put out a solo album and it was called Need to Know Bassist.
Need to know, like on a need to know basis, but bassist.
It's a tweak on that phrase, yeah.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. Just spitballing, what kind of basketball jersey do you think he would wear on the cover?
On the cover of it? Probably something, not anything licensed. I would say it would be some strange thing that probably promotes him somehow, or some clothing line he would have, or something. I mean,
Basic Instinct sportswear.
Like if he had a line, Basic Instinct.
Yeah,
that would be. Yeah, I could picture him with that, or I could picture him wearing like some. If he had a basketball jersey, it would probably like an authentic one. It would probably be like someone from the Lakers.
Yeah, I could see that.
Which is also Flea's Dominion.
Yes. Ooh.
Where it's just like, oh, Flea's wearing his James Worthy jersey tonight.
Base turf.
Yeah,
the base turf wars.
The basketball wars.
I think we're going to put out basketball too.
Well, I think Trey Parker and Matt Stone might have a couple other things on their plate that have taken them away from basketball too.
Like what?
Like continuing South Park and Book of Mormon and just anything other than basketball too, probably.
Well, I know you have some Hollywood dreams. I think that would be one to pursue.
For me to what, write basketball too?
Try to get it to them, do a spec script.
Maybe. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. Hey, getting back to the Grammys?
Yeah.
Look, yeah, there's a whole lot to dislike about the Grammys. I think we can all agree with that. But personally, I take solace in knowing that David Bowie would certainly have won 5 Grammys had he lived, based solely on the merits of the music. Right?
Okay, yeah. Look. Sure, he would not have won anything or been nominated for anything if he had not died. And, yeah, but that's not. Is that really the point you need to make?
No, you're right. No, I'm being way too negative. You know, I know. No, you're right. I'll tell you, I'm like that guy Donnie, that awful caller you had on last week.
Yeah, Donnie. Oh, man, that guy was something else. He was negative, and he was really kind of not talented, but really angry about how he wasn't talented, and kind of felt like he deserved what wasn't what he had no claim to.
No, you're right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a good brother either.
What's that?
Not a good brother either.
Not a good brother.
Yeah, he's my brother.
Wait. The guy who called last week, Donnie?
Yeah. Yeah, don't get me started on that munch.
Uh-huh. Well, wait, but if you're saying Donnie is your brother, Because Donnie had said he was the brother of the guys who had called the two previous weeks. Denny and Danny had called also.
Yeah, they're my brothers too.
Okay, so those so your brothers with the guys who called the last 3 weeks.
Yeah. They, of course, are the legendary Newbridge triplets.
Who was that?
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious.
You don't remember the Newbridge triplets?
No, I don't think I do, no.
Really? You didn't have Love and Triplicate?
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
What, did I have what?
Love in Triplicate.
No. What is Love in Triplicate?
That was the Triplets album that came out in 1988. You don't remember that. Don Woods was the producer of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, before he got all wrapped.
Sure.
Yeah. And Johnny Depp, he did a spoken word thing on it before he got all wrapped, too.
Yeah, these guys get wrapped. The L.A. I think the requirements are you have to be in... It's weird. Los Angeles is so hot.
Yeah.
And these guys are out there, so they decide the sun does nothing but beat down here all day long.
It's like a desert, yeah.
Yeah. So my answer to that is I'm going to wear more clothing than I've ever worn in my life.
Yeah.
And just be head to toe. Like, what skin is showing on some of these guys?
I think for a lot of them it's just like, well, they have, I was going to say their face, but they've got beards, so it's like part of their cheeks, I think. So it's sunglasses.
I think their lips.
A hat, long hair.
So their lips
probably
show.
Probably dreadlocks.
Their lips show.
The lips show, beard,
fingers,
dress shirt.
Fingers poke through the fingerless gloves.
Yes, gloves, vest.
Yeah.
And then a big jacket.
Yeah, like
over
a,
that.
Like a duster or a...
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, that goes all the way down, which that jacket alone must weigh 30 pounds.
Right, yeah, I don't know how they do it.
Yeah, they get wrapped.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so the triplets, those guys were involved in their album?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The triplets also had this variety show on the Shout Network. It was called Three Times the Fun. Do you remember that?
No. Never heard of this.
Well, probably because it only lasted like 4 episodes.
Okay.
Yeah, it got canceled because the logo of the show, which was basically, it was kind of a, this thing where it was a graphic of all their arms kind of intertwined and going different directions, like as a show of like, you know, them being, you know, joined and a force, you know, like a single force.
Sure.
The problem was that the logo really resembled a wet swastika, and it was in every shot of every scene.
The logo of the four brothers with their arms interlocked.
Yeah.
Inadvertently looked like a wet swastika?
Yeah, nobody caught it really until it was airing and all the copies of the show were destroyed and they were all dumped into the Newbridge City landfill at the Damned.
Huh, well that's a pretty bleak area of the landfill.
It's really out there, yeah.
Yeah.
Buzzards don't even go out there.
No, they turn back around.
They do.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know about that show.
Well, surely you remember Three Babies and Three Guys and a Baby, right?
I don't, what is that?
That was their feature film.
Their feature film was called what?
Three Babies and Three Guys and a Baby.
Okay, I never heard of it.
Well, the triplets weren't actually babies when it came out. They were like 13 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But they had to play these three little kids who discover this treasure map when they're rooting through their hallway closet. You know how kids will like look for their birthday presents?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they're doing that and they find this treasure map. and they end up going on this amazing adventure that gets them on a pirate ship that's sailing to what was at the time the USSR.
Oh, okay.
And so the triplets also play the three men who were the owners of the boat. Mm-hmm. So that means that the triplets are playing younger and older than their actual age.
Uh-huh.
It's like a I guess that's pre-Clifford at that point.
This sounds like it predates Clifford, yes.
Yeah. So they had fake mustaches and beards. It was very strange. And the budget was so low that, like, everything looked pretty terrible.
Okay.
And the climax of the movie takes place in the basement of this old abandoned Soviet hospital.
Uh-huh.
With the three babies looking for the treasure while the three older guys are chasing after them.
Mm-hmm.
And they end up finding a giant bag of what they think is gold, but it turns out to be a giant sack of pears.
Okay, so it's like a frustrating ending to the thing?
No. The babies are really excited.
Mm-hmm.
And so are the guys. And so are the people that actually paid for the movie, which, of course, was the Pear Council of America. So everyone was very excited about it. Unfortunately, no one came to really see it.
Uh-huh.
It did terribly.
Sure.
It tanked. Partly because it was awful, but also partly because there was this rumor going around that the movie had subliminal messages in it that would make children kill their parents.
Well, okay. Well, I can see how that might not... that one might have a hard time getting parents to take their kids to it if people are worried.
Somehow it worked for Frozen, though.
What did?
Well, Frozen has that, too.
Subliminal messages.
Yes, yeah.
What messages?
The same one.
Wait, to make kids kill their... Okay,
that's what I heard, anyway.
Okay, well, it didn't happen. Every kid saw it, and it didn't happen.
Oh, okay. I must have heard that wrong, then.
I mean, it's not... Unless it's like a time bomb... Like Halloween 3.
Ooh, I didn't see that.
You should check it out.
I'm thinking of Nightmare on Elm Street 7.
No, Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, is different than Nightmare on Elm Street 7.
Okay, I'll mark that down to go to get that at Blockbuster.
Yeah. So, Blockbuster. Well, good luck with that.
There's one left in Hawaii. I might go there someday.
To rent Nightmare on Elm Street 7?
Yeah.
Sounds like a good use of your time. So Steve, you said your brothers, Donnie, Denny, and Danny,
mm-hmm.
were in all of these things as the Newbridge triplets, but were you involved in any of these things?
No, and here's how this played out. Our dad, Herb,
uh-huh.
you know, he got busy with his first wife, my mother, when he was really young, mm-hmm. so I'm 18 years older than the triplets. I'm actually 63.
Oh, okay. So it's kind of strange that you're that, like, definitely much older than your brothers, but you have pretty much the same exact voice.
Oh, I take Youngaprox in staggering doses. That's what accounts for that.
Youngaprox, which is a drug that lowers your age.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh huh. You take it in staggering doses.
Staggering doses.
Yeah. Okay, I guess that sounds risky, but...
But to answer your question, mm-hmm. I was out of the showbiz game by the time the triplets got their thing going.
Uh-huh. Okay, what do you mean, out of the showbiz game?
Well, you know, Herb, our dad, there's a lot to say about him. I won't say a lot about him, but, you know, he was really driven to make something of the triplets.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, he was really driven to make something of me.
Okay, like how so?
Well, see, I was 15 in 1968, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And that's at the height of the whole counterculture thing.
Yeah, like it would be like bum bum brum, bum bum bum, or like bon no 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 no, bon no 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 no, right? That's the Vietnam machine gun. What's that?
It's the Vibra Slap. You know who played that?
Who?
Do you know who played the Vibra? This is no lie. The Vibra Slap on All Along the Watchtower?
Who?
Brian Jones.
Okay, that's an interesting factoid. But that would be playing...
It's more minutia than...
It kind of brings to mind, you're just like, you know, it was 1968, and then you picture, you hear All Along the Watchtower.
Do, yeah.
But go ahead.
I understood what you meant. I totally did.
Okay, well, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Well, you did.
Well, I guess on some level I did. On some level I did, but.
I know. So, it's the height of the counterculture, uh-huh. 1968. Herb wants to get in on this money that these rock bands are pulling in, you know?
Uh-huh.
Like, these bands are having these hit records. But, you know, he's a dyed-in-the-wool Johnson man.
Mm-hmm.
So he puts together this band with me and these four other teens. And basically, it's a band for quote-unquote good kids.
Okay.
And we were called Law Abiding Steve and the Drug Shunners.
Law Abiding Steve and the Drug Shunners?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
And
we
this
did
is
one
19,
show.
1968. That's the name of your band.
Yeah.
Okay, so you said you did one show.
Yeah. We do one show, and it's at the second annual Newbridge High School Pop and Rock Concert,
mm-hmm.
which is, of course, a huge deal now.
Yes.
And it was then, too. I'm trying to think who was on hand that year. It was only the second year, but Zsa Zsa Gabor was there, Bill Wyman from the Stones, mm-hmm. a very young Sirhan was there.
Mm. Oh, okay. That's weird. But, yeah. Okay.
Anyway, we're playing, and, like, seriously, like, 16 seconds in, this hippie throws a tire on stage, and it hits me in the chest, and it hit me so hard, I just reeled backwards. I fell backwards off the stage, and I powdered my pelvis. I didn't just break it.
Because of this tire that hit you?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I was in flagrant traction for 2 years, and I ended up getting way addicted to alcohol and nudie books.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah. And, of course, Herb found this appalling, which was very weird because he was running Moonshine and publishing a magazine called Busty Brenda's at the same time.
That's what your dad was doing?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so he kicked me out of the house the day I could walk again. How cool is that?
That's rough because you were in the band that he put together.
That's right.
And you got hit by a tire. Your pelvis was powdered.
Yep.
And you're right there?
Yeah, I just, you know, sometimes I don't talk about Herb that much, so I get very emotional.
It's weird when you bottle stuff up. It comes out in strange ways.
Yeah, it comes out. It's weird. For me, when I get very sad and upset, I start laughing.
Mm-hmm. I get. Mm-hmm. I understand that.
Yeah.
So it is. That's rough.
It is, yeah. But, you know, Herb was very much like Joe Jackson.
Joe Jackson. Okay.
Yeah, all three of them.
What do you mean all three of them?
Well, firstly, he was like Joe Jackson, the father of the Jackson 5.
Okay.
You know about him. And just like that Joe Jackson, our dad ruled his offspring, specifically the triplets, with an iron often humiliating hand.
Uh-huh. So he was pretty rough with all the kids, especially the triplets, though.
Yes, yeah. He'd make Donnie, Danny, and Denny rehearse their singing and dancing moves over and over again until they could barely stand.
Wow.
And he wouldn't even let them have water during the 40-second breaks that he would give them every 3 hours.
Okay.
Yeah, but he did allow them to drink gravy.
They could drink gravy?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'd also make us go to school naked.
Okay.
Yeah, and the teachers were so scared of Herb that they wouldn't send us home, and I was the only one that actually enjoyed it.
Enjoyed showing up to school naked.
Yeah.
All right. I don't even want to. Fine. So it's weird.
Well, you know. I bring a towel to sit on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you would. So he was pretty cruel.
Yeah. Oh, and also our dad had this pet monster. And he tormented us with it. It was very cruel.
What do you mean?
We weren't really sure what it was exactly.
Yeah, what do you mean by pet monster?
Well, it was like if baby Mothra had a horse head and it shot fire out of its mouth.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, this thing lived for at least 40 years.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
It was kind of sad. It actually died when it set fire to this magazine it was reading, mm-hmm. and the flames from the magazine jumped from the magazine to the monster's tweed jacket.
Wait, so the monster wore
a tweed jacket, Tom.
That's a very strange monster.
Yeah.
The Mothra, baby Mothra part with the horse head isn't the strangest part of it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, now we're talking about baby Mothra. it puts me in mind of, what was it? Oh, Short Frankenstein.
What's that?
Short Frankenstein?
Short Frankenstein, yeah.
Remember that movie?
I do. That's the one with the 5'3" Frankenstein?
Yeah, like not scary.
Not scary, yeah, but it wasn't like it wasn't so short that it was like.
It wasn't like 4'8".
Yeah, no, it was like, but it was like, he was just like slightly shorter than like the median height.
Yeah.
And he was just. It was weird to see people be taller than Frankenstein.
It was, yeah.
Like, they're running from him, like, look out, here comes Frankenstein, but they're clearly, in some cases, people were a foot taller than Frankenstein.
Yeah. I'll tell you, he's really come into his own recently as an actor, but I, for my money, that's Jackie Earle's best performance.
His Short Frankenstein?
Yeah.
I remember being so scared when that came out.
Yeah. And who was the woman he torments at first, but then they kind of fall in love? Who's the actress?
Oh, hold on. Hold on. Wait. Hold on. Oh.
I can't think of it.
It is Maria Conchita Alonso.
That's it.
Yes. Yeah.
She was good in that, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
she's got a lot of gigs back then.
Yeah, and I remember it was what's his face, the baseball player Bert Blyleven led the.
He had the torches.
Yeah, he led the villagers against Short Frankenstein.
That's right.
Yeah, in his uniform.
In his uniform, yeah. I guess he had to sign some sort of thing that there would be. I guess that's like team placement, not product placement.
Yeah, that he just needed to. Yeah, unless it's the only clothes he owned was his uniform.
Possible. Oh, but getting back to Herb, mm-hmm. he was also like Joe Jackson, the English singer of Look Sharp fame.
Okay, how so?
Well, he was always changing his appearance and also his temperament. So it was this emotional kind of psychic, war he was playing with you. You never knew what to expect. He'd keep you on edge.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like one day he'd be wearing a cool suit and tie with his hair kind of slicked back, and he'd be super friendly and want to help you with your bike.
Okay.
And the next he'd be dressed in these filthy overalls, throwing like greasy hot auto parts in your face to make you sing harder.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, and he would do this thing where he'd kind of like he'd escalate his voice really quickly, but from like the tiniest sound to the biggest sound. So it'd be like, oh, is that so? Oh, well, you kids will do as I say.
Wow, that's
scary, right?
Yeah, that's intense.
And he'd even do it like when he was doing something mundane, like we'd be at the drive-thru at McDonald's or something, and it'd be like, I'll have a fillet of fish with extra quarter large slice of my Diet Coke.
Oh, that's scary. That's
isn't
like
it?
That's troubling.
Ooh, I'm scared just imitating it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very weird. I can see how that would put you kids on edge.
Yeah, and he was also like Shoeless Joe Jackson too.
Mm-hmm.
Shoeless Joe Jackson. He was this baseball player.
Yeah.
That he.
Well, Shoeless Joe Jackson was Joseph Jefferson Jackson, nicknamed Shoeless Joe, was an American outfielder who played Major League Baseball in the early 1900s, and he's remembered for his performance on the field and for his alleged association
what
with
are
the
you
Black
doing?
Sox scandal.
What are you doing?
What's that?
You're reading that.
No, well, it's not reading.
How did you just start reading that?
Wasn't reading. I have like
yes, you are.
I do read Wikipedia a fair amount, but I have a very photographic memory.
But even your delivery was that you were reading it.
Well, no, I was reading it in my head. I saw what I had read in the past laid out in my head. I was reading it from my mind.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
That I was reading it from my mind?
Yes.
It was from my mind wiki.
It sounded so weird. Uh-huh. Do it again.
Well, I guess you do what?
Just
recall the facts about Shoeless Joe Jackson?
Yeah. It sounds so unnatural.
No, it doesn't. I mean, look, it's just, it's completely off the top of my head. If I just think back, it's like Joseph Jefferson Jackson, nicknamed Shoeless Joe, was an American outfielder who played Major League Baseball in the early 1900s. He is remembered for his performance on the field and for his...
What are you looking at, right? Seriously, are you just looking at a wall?
No.
What are you looking at?
What am I looking at? Yes, I am looking at a wall. I'm not looking at a screen.
You're like Putty from Seinfeld. You're just kind of sitting there looking at a wall and you're saying that stuff.
It just, I pull it back up.
Oof. That's creepier than anything Herb ever did.
Okay, well look, how was he like Shoeless Joe Jackson?
Oh, well see, Herb liked to gamble. Mm-hmm. And he especially liked to gamble on the Pelican races over at Aqueduct Racetrack. What?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was way deep in debt to the Colonelino family for like 75 large. That's 1,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so he ended up pulling this heist over at the old Kern Fargo Bank on Muffler Row.
Yeah.
And he almost got away with it. Like, really almost got away with it.
Wow. Wow.
What happened was the money got traced back to him, and he eventually did get arrested and thrown in the hut.
Mm-hmm.
But here's how he gets out of it. He convinces the triplets to take the rap.
Okay, his sons.
Basically he tells them that, you know, since they're kids, they're underage, they're only going to get probation.
Mm-hmm.
But there's this ancient law on the books in Newbridge.
Yeah.
That somehow allowed the three of them to be tried and convicted as one adult once their ages were combined.
Okay.
That's the weirdest thing you've ever heard.
I don't even know how that could be possible.
I know. So weird. They were tried and treated and housed and dressed as a single prisoner.
Three young boys.
Yes.
Were tried because their ages added up to the age of an adult.
Yeah.
Were tried and convicted and imprisoned as an adult.
Yeah, and it wasn't that thing where, like, the what's the movie? Is it called The Thing with Two Heads, where Rosie Grier and
George Peppard,
where they're together, but they're next to each other?
Yes.
It wasn't like that. They were like vertical.
So stacked, like the idea, like in a like where it'd be like a movie where kids are trying to pretend to be a tall adult.
Exactly.
But they didn't want to do it.
No.
Okay. Wow.
So it's like one guy who's, it's three kids, but they make up one guy who's like 10 feet tall.
Jammed into one prison jumpsuit.
Yeah. Pretty sick stuff, right?
Very weird.
Yeah. But then in July of 1990,
mm-hmm.
they broke out of the Newbridge Penitentiary for the possibly wrongly imprisoned. It's a mouthful.
That was a mouthful.
Right?
Yeah. That so they were...
I wonder how Andy Kindler would say that. Or how he'd get out of that stumble. He would go...
He'd go, I meant to say it that way.
Or he'd say, get a dialogue coach, Andy!
Yeah, he would say something like that. He'd say, like, take two!
Yeah.
And then, and he'd say, like, that's why... Everybody comes to see Andy Kindler fumble words. It's my big thing. And that's why.
I've cut you off. I'm sorry.
And that's why when you come to that's why everybody comes to see Andy Kindler when the room is half empty.
Is he there? That sounds just like him.
No, it's not him. That was me.
Okay.
Doing
him. So anyway, the triplets, you know, they break out mm-hmm. and they show up at my apartment a few days later.
Yeah.
And I'm still steaming about how he treated me, you know, how he threw me out of the house once I could walk.
Mm-hmm.
So we formulate this plan to put Herb in his place.
Okay.
His place being the Sea of Newbridge.
The Sea of Newbridge.
Yeah.
Yeah. How so?
Well, what happened was we ended up barging our dad and the rest of the guys on his ultra slow pitch softball team.
Wait, so you... You barged not only your dad, but right. the whole team. The whole ultra slow pitch softball team.
Yeah.
How many guys?
30.
30 guys.
Yeah.
And barging is you put them on a thing and you kick it out to sea and they're gone.
That's it. So long. There's no ships out there.
Yeah, so the
because of the serpent.
Mhm. Yeah. So you barged the whole team.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, those guys just happened to be there at the time, but, you know, they, unfortunately, the 30 of those guys had to buy it, too. But positive note, thankfully, nobody ever found out about it, because we did it in the middle of the night during the great blackout of 90, when that spaceship knocked out the main grid at the Newbridge Power Plant. Remember that?
I do remember it. And then they tried to cover it up, but then they couldn't, they couldn't pull the spaceship out of the side of the plant.
And they had the big tarp over it, and you could still see the lights blinking, though.
Yeah, yeah. And that one dead alien, like, smeared on the side of the power plant wall.
Yeah.
You think that would have been the first thing they cleaned up?
You'd think so, but it did give us that great grindcore band, Smeared Dead Alien.
Yeah, and they did that one album that was so good.
Volume 1.
Yeah. So, Steve.
Yeah?
You said, just not to get too far off point, you said nobody ever found out about any of this stuff, but you just said it, everybody kind of knows now because you just said it on what you and your brothers did.
How does everybody know? I don't get it.
Because you just confessed it on this show, on the radio.
This is a radio show?
Yeah.
I thought this was one of those party lines. It isn't?
A party line?
Yeah, where you talk to, you know, like you talk to girls and stuff.
No, this is not a party line.
Oh. That explains why I'm standing here with my putt in my paw, having not gotten my rocks off yet.
Oh, that's... Okay, that's disgusting, but Steve, I just do have to say, all laughs or whatever aside, I do abide by the podcaster's code, which I do take very seriously, and as per the podcaster's code, I am going to have to alert the authorities about this, and you're probably going to be in a lot of trouble.
No, son, you're going to be in big trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, your imprisonment will be first order of business in tomorrow's national security briefing. That's for damn sure.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, and I'll tell you one other thing. You're going to be like the titular character in that old, old story, the podcaster in the Iron Mask.
Well, it can't be. That was a movie, right?
It was, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I never saw that movie. That was, it can't be that old. It's like podcasting hasn't been around that long.
Well, the story's really old. The story is from, the 1800s,
yeah,
right?
So it's an updating of the, sure, okay, well.
No, it was called The Podcaster and the Iron Mask.
No, not back then it wasn't.
Sure it was. Podcasts have been around forever.
All right, Steve, what are you talking about with me getting in trouble?
Look, show me some respect, you dumb donkey.
Dumb donkey?
Yeah, I'll tell you, okay, all right, gloves are off. I didn't want to bring it up, but listen, you give off a really strong Eeyore vibe, okay?
A really strong Eeyore vibe?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it's true. Everybody, it's all they talk about.
Oh, everybody knows it, huh?
When your name comes up.
Sure, when they...
In meetings.
Sure, when I sit down and meet with someone, that's what I convey?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's horrible. And that's very hurtful.
Look, anyway, you will call me Mr. Bannon from here on out, okay?
Uh-huh. Mr. Bannon?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Wait, why? Wait, where are you calling from again?
D.C., why?
Uh-huh. Okay, this is not true. You're not Steve Bannon. There's no way.
Sure I am, yeah. I'll tell you, if I wasn't Steve Bannon, would I be able to flood your studio?
What are you talking about, flood my studio?
Look down.
Oh, well, there actually is, like, water coming in from outside. But you're actually doing that? Oh, it's actually...
It's getting deeper, isn't it?
Yes, it's actually
pretty
getting...
Pretty fast, deeper. Right?
Yes. We have equipment in here that's not cheap.
Oh, I'm going to have a cigarette real quick.
Okay, well, look, can you make this stop, please?
What do you think? How about you promise to keep her mouth shut about the barging of her Bennett softball team, And I make the water stop. How about that?
You know what? Look, just make the water stop, okay? Yes, I'll tell.
Promise?
Yes, I promise.
All right. Done.
Wow, it stopped. It was like up to my ankles. Like,
yeah,
just a
pretty deep,
seconds
right?
ago, yeah. How did that happen so quickly? Hello?
Happy Valentine's Day, Big P!
I don't like that at all. And he hung up. There he goes. Thanks again for listening to Best Show Best. And I want to thank Martin DeGrell for supervising the episodes of Best Show Best. And, of course, much thanks to Jason Gore, Pat Byrne, Martine Sellis, Brendan McDonald, AP Mike, of course, John Worster, who else? Marcia Neumeier, and, you, the Best Show listener. Thank you. And if you like this, check out the full show every Tuesday night from 9 p.m. to midnight at thebestshow.net. And support The Best Show, patreon.com/thebestshow. Thanks so much for listening. Goodbye.